Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter, and it's Wednesday night. Hope you guys are having a good Wednesday. Halfway through is hump day. And Friday is fastly approaching for us that do a Monday through Friday kind of work week. And my prayers are for you guys that do shifts are unconventional in the night, the graveyard shift and the evening shifts. And then, of course, having to work on Saturday. And hopefully you guys are off on Sunday so you can go to church or do the online church or wherever you're at or wherever you're hearing this message from. Just want to tell you that my heart goes out to you guys and especially those in California and you see all this rioting and looting going on, and our prayers should yearn, and we should be a praying people, guys. A praying people. Prayer should be God's children. We should be marked by prayer. So we should always be in prayer for all the things going on around us. And in this election coming around, there's a lot of things. If you follow me on Facebook or... there's a lot of things going on, guys. November 3rd elections. This is a very important election, and we need to get out there. Always pray. You got plenty of time to pray on it. Seek God's face and go to the voting booths and vote. The scripture I'm looking at today, Psalms 23 and verse 1 through 6. We're going to read this chapter. We're going to go through these verses, and then we'll do kind of like a little breakdown here, guys. So, of course, it's the Psalm of David. They call this a shepherd's song. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He made me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As you guys bow with me, Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come today, Lord, tonight, Lord, or if other people in out of state or maybe out of this nation listening to this, Lord, it may be their morning time, Lord. We could just come and we just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to go into your word, to seek your face, to learn. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit just guides and directs my steps, Lord, as I give this message tonight, Lord, that it reaches whoever that needs to hear it, Lord, and that it gives them hope and motivation to go out there into that world, Lord, and to be that light. And within this growing darkness around us, Lord, we know that you are our hope, that you are the anchor of our soul. Even when the winds of this life and the storms of this life and the winds hitting us, we know if our anchor is solid on that rock, that is Jesus, and that hope is there, we will not be moved. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity tonight, Lord, just to be here and to make it through halfway through this week, Lord. Thank you for all your mercy and grace that you provide every day for me and all of your children around, Lord. You know, as we look at this psalm, particular Psalm 23, verse 1 through 6, this is probably one of David's most popular psalms. But you can really see, if you really want to know the story, it kind of starts in 1 Solomon 10, and it continues all the way to the end of 2 Solomon. You see David, you can see the beginning of his story. He was anointed by Solomon to be king of Israel. The current king at the time was Saul. You can read one of the most popular Bible stories that I've learned when I was a kid on Sunday school disciple training, child disciples, is David and Goliath. We don't really know how old David was when he faced Goliath, but we know he had to be at least below 20, or maybe even 20. You had to be at least 20 to join the Israel army, so we could pretty much assume that he was not 20, he was below that. Even some commentaries would say he might have been 12 or 13. So we can kind of put a range 12 through 13 there. So you got a young shepherd, and by definition, that would be a young shepherd. His dad, you know, was going to tell him to bring some food to his brothers in the valley. They were having this confrontation with a Philistine. Philistines. But this one particular leader of the Philistine at the time was Goliath, who believed he was about 9 foot, maybe 10 foot. Man, can you imagine that giant? I know if you look at wrestlers and they're pretty tall. You see some are 7'5", 7'2". But 9 to 10 foot. Wow. You know, Goliath tall. You could see Goliath. He was a warrior. You know, probably ripped out with muscles, scars from previous battles. He was a furious man of war with no fear of God or anything. And there's Goliath. He's taunting the Israel army, mocking them, mocking their God, and they're shaking in their boots. And Saul is scared, and he's hiding. And here comes David. And you hear all this. He hears all this noise. And you got to wonder what was going through his mind. And he hears this Goliath mocking his God. And he tells Saul, "Your servant will go out and I will handle this giant." You know, Saul, which was a pretty tall guy himself, and looking down at this little child that he would view it with no experience in war or battles, and he's going to take care of this. But David tells Saul, or told Saul, "I am a shepherd, and I care for my sheep. There was a time when there was a bear and a lion came into my flock and took one of the sheep, and I went after that sheep. And I killed that bear and that lion. I removed the sheep from their grips of death. You know what? I'm going to slay this uncircumcised Philistine as I slay that bear and that lion, because my God is not going to be mocked. And the same God that gave me strength with the bear and the lion is the same God that will deliver Goliath to me." Amen, right? You talk about boldness. And Saul had to see that, because Saul's like, okay. And of course, Saul has his armor, so he's trying to put this armor on David, which they physically didn't match. And of course, the story progressed. The army was too heavy, did not fit right, you know. And David just took it off. And he had a sack, and he got several stones. He put them in a pouch. He had a sling, and he goes out to face Goliath, you know. And Goliath looks out there across there. Can you imagine Goliath looking across that battlefield, and he sees this kid walking across, and he's basically saying, "You send this stick out there to face me? What am I? Think I am a dog?" Goliath came, you know, he's seen that. He's seen that child, and he didn't think nothing of it. And he said, Goliath says, "You come, I will kill you. I will give your flesh to the birds and the animals of the field." You see, David stood his ground. And he told Goliath, you come with a sword and spear and shield, but I come in the name of Lord of hosts." When you see that word or that phrase, Lord of hosts, that is a battle term. That is a God of war, a spiritual warfare term, right? And today everybody will know the God I serve. That's That's amazing. And when, you know, Goliath didn't really think anything about it. But David said, I'm going to chop your head off. And the birds will get, I will give you to the birds and the beasts. And you know, of course, the story, David slew Goliath. He uses Goliath's own sword to chop his head off. This was a pivotal point for David. A beginning. And of course, as you continue looking through all the battles and you know, the hiding and all the things he went through, and then you come to a very sad point in his life when he steals another man's wife, and then he commits murder. He sends the woman's wife off to get killed because she was pregnant and he was trying to hide everything. She was having his baby. He hid that sin. You see the shepherd in at the very beginning, he just through the years and years and years, he became less that shepherd. Sin entered his life. Compound sin on sin. We know that sin, unconfessed sin, unrepented sin is very destructive in a Christian's life. And God, of course, sends a messenger as he does. And his name was Nathan. He came and he pointed out David's sin. Of course, David felt the pain and shame of his sins. And he just fell to his knees and he prayed. And of course, we know that the consequence of sin, of his sin, was a loss of his child. He was not able to. Of course, he lost another child, and you just read through all that. It's kind of heartbreaking, and of course, he wasn't able to build a temple for God, which you can read about in 2 Samuel at the end of David's life, because he was just not a warrior, but he was a worshiper. He wanted to build a temple for God. And I say all this to just kind of give a background of David. Now, maybe you guys have not. And it was a very brief description. If you guys get the opportunity, I encourage you guys to go and read 1 Samuel 10. And read that all the way down to the end of 2 Samuel. You'll get a good picture. And there's points I miss. And there's a lot of questions about. There's a lot to unpack, basically, when you look at David's life. There's a lot of messages. There's a lot of questions. And why God did this. And why God did that. There's a lot of messages in there. But what I want to reflect on today is Psalms 23. You know, when we look at verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." See, David understood what a shepherd does. A shepherd watches over his sheep. Because there are all kinds of dangers out there. David experienced this firsthand. He had a sheep taken from the flock by a bear and a lion. And David risked his life by pursuing this lost sheep and rescuing this sheep from the grips of death. You see, we have an enemy that wants to come into the flock. He wants to destroy and kill us because we are sheep. John puts this way in chapter 10. Verse 10 through 11, he said, "The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." God is our good shepherd. He's watching over us. David understood this. He makes it personal. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Meaning God's got this. Because he's good regardless of our situations, our suffering, our challenges in this life. You know, I've told my story, you know, the testimony, pieces here and there in my life. You know, I fought left and right, you know, trying to do it my way. Accumulate a lot of pain and suffering, even suffer today from quite a bit of some of my disobedience toward God, because I wanted my life, I wanted my way. But if I would have listened and followed the path for the start, I would have saved me a lot of chastisement, because the path that God wants me on is a good path, because He's a good, good Father. You know, I was thinking of that song. I don't know if you guys, I love music, Chris Tomley. He's a good, good Father. He is. Sometimes we don't feel like it when we're going through things, but He is a good, good Father. And when we experience challenges in this life, most of my questions are, most of what we want to say is, if God is good, because we do not understand the situation, challenging the suffering should not define us. But within that challenge and that suffering, we have opportunity to respond differently than most. We have a good Father who cares for us. And within that challenge, we have opportunity to show the world that God is good and God's got this. Sometimes we want to think of that. Why? Why, God? Why? Depending on what we're going through, we should never question God in a sense when we're going through those valleys. We just know He'll be there for us. As we go to verse 2 here, it says, "Make me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restore my soul and lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." God is our comforter. I don't know about you guys, but if you've ever been picnicking, a good picnic area is like gold, right? You got the right amount of shade. The wind's just blowing just right. It may be by a lake or a mountain outside your home, or by air. It's just like you lay that blanket out, and you got the snacks and the basket or cooler. You may have a good book to read. Maybe you have your phone, you're playing a little music, maybe you have an audio book you're listening to. It's just right. It's very calm, it's very peaceful. You do not, you know, it's just beautiful. You see, David understood this type of peace and calmness as he was being pursued by Saul, because of the jealousy and the pride and the hate, all driven by the devil. Saul wanted David dead. You see, after the smoke cleared, David was praising for his victory. This made Saul believe that David was a threat to him. So when we look at the middle part of 1 Samuel, you will see Saul over and over try to kill David. But God preserved his life over and over again. You know, this had to be hard for David, because he was following the will of God. He had a heart for God and a passion for God. He had to run for a while. But through all this, David was able to say, "He made me lie in green pastures. He lead me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." David understood that God was his comforter. John 14:26 tells us this, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach all things and bring things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." You see, as a child of God, we have the Comforter. We have the Holy Ghost that lives inside of us. When we're going through things in life, we need to hold on to that comforter that's in us if you truly are a child of God. I know I've experienced things in my life, and I'm not immune to those things. I may still experience more before it's over with. But you're rattled. you're shaking. And you're, you know, if you're like me, you're just trying to grab for everything you can get your hands on. You know, trying to explanation, comfort, physical comfort of some sort. But what I have learned and is still learning is when I go to prayer, when I take that situation and I place it at God's feet. And the Holy Ghost that's inside me, the Comforter, there's a peace. Of course, the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a beautiful thing. Maybe you guys experience it. I hope y'all have. You know, I think of the disciples when they're in the boat. And Jesus is in the boat with them. He was sleeping and the storms came. And they believe they were going to die, and they woke Jesus up and said, "Hey, man, you think we're going to you care for us?" He does. God cares. Jesus cares more than what we can imagine. He was right there in the boat. Nothing was going to happen to him. If it did, he would have been there for them, and he would have gave them the strength to endure wherever it was, because he is our peace. He is our Comforter. When we look at verse 4, we can see that David states, or we can infer from that, God is our protector. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." David said, here, I walk through the valley of shadow of death. A valley of shadow of death. What is that, right? You see, guys will experience dark moments in our lives. It could be a doctor looking at you with a chart and tell you you have cancer in a few months to live. It could be a loss of a child or children, as Job. This could be a loss of a job. When you look at the landscape today, especially in America, people unemployed. People are suffering. I know when you're watching all the rioting and looting on TV and the internet and radio, it creates fear of this pandemic. It could be that fear that's grabbing you and seizing you and pulling you in a dark hole. Where it may be, it can bring you to your knees. I can remember one of my darkest moments in my life. You know, I had a good job, great salary, allowed us to have nice things in our life, like apartments and vehicles. You know, but I was running from God and did not want anything to do with God years after years, pulling away from God, doing everything I could do to drown out the calling on my life through alcohol, drugs, and pornography. All this compound, right? Thank God that he preserved my marriage. Yes, I lost my job, and I thought things, you know, all the things I thought mattered. And I decided to end my life, to finish it off. Oh, how the devil can tell you lies and you can believe them. I believed those lies. But God rescued me. He was my rescue story. He gave me another chance to do what he called me to do. And that is to stand here. Or to stand in the pulpit, which I do on Sundays at a church, wherever church will have me. And also on a podcast here to preach the gospel and warn the church, you know, that we need to realize time is getting close and we don't have much longer. We need to make sure that we are pulling closer to God, that we're standing on the fundamental truths that this world has pulled from. You see, in this whole pandemic, we are in a valley in America. But we should have not the spirit of fear. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but power of love and sound mind." We are supposed to have the power and the love and the sound mind, not the spirit of fear. That fear grips you and makes you ineffective for the cause of Christ. You see, God does not operate a spirit of fear. That is Satan and his demonic hosts. They want you to fear. They want you to enable you and not progress in the will that God has chosen for each and every one of us to go out there and be that light to whoever that needs to hear the gospel. God operates with power, love, and sound mind. Love, that's agape, right? That's a unconditional, that's a genuine love. That is a unadulterated form of love. That's what we see at the cross. That cross where the poor Jesus suffered. His blood ran red because of the love that he has, or has for us. And a sound mind, that meaning our mind is not shaken, it's not rattled. Because we have a mind that is, should be like Christ-like, regardless. You know, I think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When they heat the furnace up and threw them in there, you know, one of the statements, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing, it just came to mind, is as if our God, if we know our God can deliver us, but if not, it'll be all right. And that's how we have to be when we're going through the fire. We know our God can deliver us, but if not, that is fine. So we are supposed to walk in power and love and sound mind. We're going through these challenges in life, the things you, and we gotta realize we're not alone. We are. Jesus is right there, the Holy Spirit living inside each and every one of his true believers. Because the Holy Spirit, we have protection over us. Of course, as long as we're not grieving the Holy Spirit. I have preached several sermons on unconfessed sin, repentance, and that's very important. We need to realize unconfessed sin and unrepented sin in our life is not good to have. It can result in chastisement in our lives. Because God chastises those he loves. Thank God for chastisement. You know, one thing, part of my prayer that I, you know, of course I pray in the morning and then I pray throughout the day is, Lord, if I have any unconfessed, unrepented sin in my life, get rid of it. Forgive me. You see, David did. And when Nathan points out his sins with Bathsheba, he hits his knees and he mourned because sin breaks God's heart. It should break our hearts too. With all that, God is still good and God is our protector. He will never fully be able to understand how God protects us throughout our lifetime. All his grace and mercy that he provides every day. As we continue on Psalms verse 5 through 6, it said, "Thou prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Within these last verses, all the good, bad, and the ugly, we see David's life. God was always there in each joyful moment and deep valley. But through all of it, God remained faithful, good, mercy, and grace through all of David's life. David understood that God was his provider, as he is ours. You know, I think of Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. It says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what shall put on. Is this the life more than the meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather in the barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them." Are you much better than they? Which of you taking thought can add one cubit unto the stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, all the glory, was not arranged like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or whither shall we be clothed? For after all these things do Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father know that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day evil thereof. James 4:13-14 said, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow we will go to such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and gain. Therefore you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Is a vapor appear for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, he shall live and do this or that. That's a lot, right, guys? God, David understood that life is only temporary. Our life is only temporary. And that one day, our life will be over. We're not promised tomorrow. Today could be our last day. When we lay our head on the pillow tonight, if we have one, we could wake up in the next life. And what will only matter is if we were truly a child of God. We've done the works that he has prepared us to do in our life. Or we just been stubborn and squandered his direction and his will for our life. When we look at David's life, one constant was God and the hand in David's life, as God's hand is constant all of our lives, providing for our needs every day, regardless if we're doubting it. I promise you, God is there. He's intertwining every moment of suffering, every moment of pain, every moment of tears. But this life is sharp. James said it's a vapor. One truth that David understood that we need to understand as a child of God is when our life is over, it's just the beginning. We will live in a place with no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. And the cares of this world are gone because we live. We're going to be living with God, right? And of course, the flip side of that, which is the sad part, be those that rejected God and their hearts were far from him. They're going to a place, eternal damnation. Hell, which is horrible. We should always be in prayer. Our hearts should hurt when we talk about that with others around us and to the lost out in this world. We should, if they reject us and they cuss us and they spit us, we should at least get their name so we can pray for them. Because we know the devil has his hand on them. It's only the power of God that can break those chains. Wrapping this up, you brothers and sisters, this life will take you up, down, all around. Life will leave you breathless. It will bring you to your knees. It has for me. If it hasn't, it will. A child of God, we got to realize that he got this. We can get wrapped around, get that wrapped around our minds. And when we can start getting that in our heads, our minds will think more like Christ. When we look at David's life, you can see as he was a shepherd and he slew Goliath. And he, of course, he was involved in many battles and wars. And we can see that high point. We can see the low points. When he's taking another man's wife and having him murdered, and of course facing the consequence of that sin from losing some of his children. Not be able to build a temple that David wanted to. David experienced the good, bad, and the ugly. But through all of this, he realized God is the shepherd. God is his comforter. God is his protector. God is his provider. And if you are a true child of God, he is your shepherd. He is your comforter. He is your protector. He is your provider. These are the truths within the beautiful word of God. Let me say that again. If you get anything from this message, get this. As a true child of God, God is your shepherd. He is a good shepherd. God is your comforter. God is your protector. God is your provider. These are the truths within the beautiful word of God. These are the promises that God has given to his children. That the enemy, Satan, his demonic host, wants to steal from you. They want to lie to you and tell you these ain't so. Remember, Satan is a liar. He's a thief. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to rob everything from you. Rebuke him. Don't let him do that. We give him enough rope. We don't give him that rope to hang ourselves with. We give him the power. He has no power, only the power that we allow him to have. Because as a child of God, he that lives in us is greater than that. What in the world that is God in us? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, versus any satanic attacks outside. Regardless of what you're feeling today, you may feel overwhelmed by all this chaos in the world, this pandemic, the rioting and looting around our nation. Disguises, protests, it can be a job loss, sickness in the family, deep depression, anxiety, feeling of loneliness and hopelessness. But I want to tell you, as a child of God, you're not alone. God will always be right there with you through each pain, through each tear, through each sleepless night. He is your shepherd. He is your comforter. He is your protector. He is your provider. Love you guys. You can hit me up on my website. You can hit me up on Facebook if you want to. Bow with me. Heavenly Father, as we just come to you, Lord, tonight, just thanking you for the opportunity to speak on your word, Lord, and forgive me where I failed you during the whole message. If I did, Lord, I pray, Lord, let my inadequacies, Lord, don't let it hindered this message going out, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you the ears that will hear this, I pray, Lord, it reaches whoever that needs to hear that out there, Lord. I pray, Lord, that it just touches the hearts, Lord. I pray that those are going through these challenges in these times, Lord, that they just don't feel like they're by themselves, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that the enemy's voice that comes in their head, they're able to rebuke that voice and to say, I am a child of God. He is my protector. He loves me. He provides for me. Even when it doesn't feel like it, and that they get into the word of God and they pray, Lord, and they reach out to others around us, send people that can come to them and that can expound the word of God as a solid biblical counseling to their souls, because we know, Jesus, you're the ultimate counselor. You're the ultimate physician. You are in all aspects the greatest, Lord. I pray, Lord, you know what's going on in this world, Lord. I pray that you be where our nation, Lord. I pray that you be where our leaders, Lord, during this time. Lord, we pray those that are trying to point us back to you, Lord, and a lot of these things are going on there in this nation is because we're trying to point back to you, Lord, and the devil does not like that. Therefore, we have spiritual warfare, physically seeing it with our eyes at its highest, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, you be where our president, you be where our nation as we go through these difficult times. We know that you're in control. We know your will be done. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen.